From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kilohertz and voanews.id.
Listener, here's the news first, the headlines. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry ensures three Indonesian citizens in Gaza are not arrested by the Israeli military. Canadian military aircraft lands in Indonesia, and here is the news in detail. Spokesperson for Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs Lalu Muhammad Iqbal has stated that no Indonesian citizens had been arrested by the Israeli military or IDF. In a statement received in Jakarta Wednesday, according to Iqbal, after verification, the three Indonesian citizens were declared at the hospital in Gaza.
Pertama kali kita memperoleh informasi ini dari wartawan Palestine Today di Gaza.
The first time we received this information from a journalist of Palestine Today in Gaza who informed us, but the Indonesian government has verified it directly with the source in Gaza and has just received information that all three Indonesian citizens are still at Indonesian hospital in Gaza. So there were no arrests of Indonesian citizens by the IDF in Gaza. Previously, it was reported that three Indonesian citizens in Gaza were volunteers working at Indonesian hospital. They refused the evacuation carried out by Indonesian government because they wanted to continue humanitarian work in Gaza. They were reportedly arrested by Israel military after Israel launched a further attack on Indonesian hospital, and all patients and medical staff had been evacuated on Wednesday morning. The CP-140 Aurora aircraft from Royal Canadian Air Force, or RCAF, landed at Halim Perdana Kusuma Air Base in East Jakarta on Wednesday. This maritime surveillance aircraft carried several RCAF personnel who visited Jakarta from Wednesday to Saturday within the framework of their Indo-Pacific strategy. The arrival of the CP-140 Aurora was welcomed by commander of Halim Perdana Kusuma Air Base, First Marshal Destianto Nugroho Utomo, and Head of Operations Service of the Air Base Flight Colonel Pugu Hulianto, Major Scott McDonald, 407th Long Range Patrol Squadron Operation Flight Commander and aircraft pilot, admitted that he was very happy to be able to land in Indonesia. He said that his arrival to Indonesia was an honor and privilege for him.
First off, we're very excited to be here. It's an honor and privilege to come to Indonesia and to meet some Indonesian Air Force, showcase our airplane, and then start from Canada to work more in this region. Our plane was in Japan already, so we had flown commercial into Tokyo, and then we got our plane up from Okinawa to get our exercise.
Canada's continued participation in these activities, like this current visit by the Royal Canadian Air Force, I think is a tangible expression of the growing partnership between Canada and Indonesia. A partnership that is founded on shared values and interests. This includes addressing shared security challenges to maintain our rules-based international system and maintain a free, open, and inclusive Indonesia Pacific.
According to Canadian Ambassador to Indonesia, Brunei and Timor-Leste Cameron McKay, the CAF delegations will meet Indonesian Air Force's representatives to discuss military and defense cooperation. Brigadier General John Vass will also be scheduled to visit students and faculty at Indonesia National Defense University in Jakarta. The Indonesian government welcomes the truce agreement between Hamas and Israel that will pave the way for implementation of a four-day humanitarian pause in the besieged Gaza Strip. Indonesia has consistently been echoing the importance of ending the armed conflict for the sake of uninterruptible humanitarian aid in Gaza. This was said by Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi in a statement published on social media platform X on Wednesday, as reported by Antara. This Qatar-mediated truce agreement that is reportedly set to begin on Thursday morning will hopefully pave the way for a permanent end to the conflict and a start of bringing all related parties to seek just and comprehensive peace. The Indonesian government strengthened cooperation with China in the digital sector, especially in the fields of research, technology development, and improvement of digital human resources competence and skills. This was realized at a bilateral meeting between Minister of Communication and Informatics Budi Ari Setiadi and Executive Vice President and Chief Executive Secretary of the China Association for Science and Technology, or CAST, He Jungke, in Jakarta on Wednesday. Minister Budi Ari Setiadi hoped the event can become a moment to strengthen cooperation in various sectors. Various forms of cooperation have been built by the two countries, and cooperation opportunities between Indonesia and China are wide open. Saudi specialists and officials, led by the Chief KS Relief, have launched the kingdom's first aid convoy from Egypt to Gaza. As reported by ArabNews.com, Dr. Abdullah Al-Rabia, Supervisor General of the King Salman Humanitarian Aid and Relief Center, along with Osama Nugali, Saudi Ambassador to Egypt, a KS relief team, and representatives from Egyptian Red Crescent and the Palestine Red Crescent Society, gathered in Egypt on Wednesday to launch the aid through the Rafah crossing for delivery to Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. The KS Relief Chief inspected warehouses, examined the operation of Saudi aid trucks, and oversaw cooperation with the authorities responsible for delivering the aid to the enclave. In late September, Zimbabwe's Environment Minister signed away control over a staggering amount of land, almost 20% of his country, to a little-known foreign company. Was reported by CNN.com, Blue Carbon was a small new outfit, not even a year old, but its chief was no fledgling entrepreneur. Emirati royal, whose family had ruled Dubai for 190 years, flush with oil money. The Dubai-based Blue Carbon has secured forested land nearly equivalent to the size of the United Kingdom across five African nations to run projects to conserve forests that might otherwise be logged, preventing huge amount of planet-heating carbon dioxide, or CO2, from entering the atmosphere. The Singapore economy is expected to grow by around 1% in 2023, narrowing from a previous forecast range of 0.5% to 1.5% due to subdued external demand. As reported by ChannelNewsAsia.com, the updated forecast released by the Ministry of Trade and Industry on Wednesday came as third quarter GDP expanded by 1.1% year-on-year. This is faster than the advance estimate of 0.7%. On a quarter-on-quarter seasonally adjusted basis, the economy grew by 1.4%, accelerating from the 0.1% expansion in the second quarter. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world.
discuss the affairs at interim KUAI of the Embassy of the Republic of Indonesia KBRI in Seoul, Zelda Wulan Kartika, opened the Garuda Indonesia International Travel Fair 2023 at the Indonesian Embassy in Seoul, South Korea on Monday. In her remarks, Zelda said that the Indonesian Embassy in Seoul always supports promotional activities carried out by Garuda Indonesia in South Korea, including through the Garuda Indonesia Travel Fair, GATF, and other activities, because it is in line with the Indonesian Embassy in Seoul's tourism promotion program. Meanwhile, Garuda Indonesia's Director of Service and Commercial, Ade Susardi, said that in line with efforts to provide added value for service users and to welcome the 50th anniversary of diplomatic relation between Indonesia and South Korea, the Garuda Indonesia Travel Fair, GATF, was held for 7 days, namely on November 20th until 26, 2023. Activities is held in 3 cities simultaneously, namely Seoul, Hong Kong, and Singapore. Designed as one of top shopping destinations, GATF aims to present the best prices during this period, including special fares for business and economy class, which are only available during travel fairs. Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Sandiaga Uno, via short video message, said that South Korea, along with Hong Kong and Singapore, are chosen because they are focus of tourism for super priority promotion. For the first time, the travel fair is held outside Indonesia, and it is hoped that the event will be held again in the coming years. GATF 2023 offers special rates for round-trip tickets for Incheon, Jakarta, and Incheon, Denpasar, starting from around 560,000 won for economy class and 1.77 million won for business class. This price is valid for the departure period until November 19, 2024. Besides offering special prices, GATF also offers various added values for Garuda Miles members. Garuda Indonesia will increase direct flights to Denpasar from twice a week to four times a week starting December 2023 to meet increasing demand for travel to Bali. The service of Garuda Indonesia Experience provides typical Indonesian hospitality from the pre- to post-flights. GATF 2023, which was held for the first time after the pandemic in Seoul, brought together at least 100 tourism service industry players and travel agents from South Korea.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, we begin today in history with the event on 23rd November 1980. Italy was shaken by an earthquake. Italy was rocked by earthquake measuring 6.5 and 6.8 magnitude centered in Conza. The worst affected areas were Sant'Angelo, Lombardy, Leoni, Naples, Teora, and Balvano. This earthquake killed more than 4,800 people. Moving on to November 23, 1996, the Ethiopian Airlines plane was hijacked. The Boeing 767-961 aircraft operated by Ethiopian Airlines from Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, to Nairobi, Kenya, was hijacked on 23rd November 1996. The three hijackers forced the pilot to fly to Australia. Because there was not enough fuel, the plane lost its engine and crashed in the Indian Ocean. The tragedy killed 123 of the 175 passengers and cabin crew. We end today in history with an event on 23rd November 2005. Ellen Johnson Sirleaf was elected as the president of Liberia. Ellen Johnson Sirleaf was elected as the first female president of Liberia. She was also the first woman to serve as the head of state on the African continent. Before serving as the 24th president, she was a minister of finance in 1979. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Hanya untuknya.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia today focuses on IDX carbon transaction reaches 29.45 billion rupiah. Indonesian Financial Services Authority, or OJK, reported the accumulation of the IDX carbon transaction reached 29.45 billion rupiah, or around 1.8 million US dollar, since its launching on 26 September 2023. OJK's head for capital market, derivative financials, and carbon exchange Inarno Jayadi in a meeting with Commission 10 of the House of Representatives in Jakarta on Monday pointed out that there were 24 users granted the licensing with 464,843 ton carbon dioxide equivalent CO2e total volume. The number rose from the OJK September 2023 Board of Commissioners meeting result on 9 October, in which there were 16 carbon traders with 459,953 tons of CO2e carbon unit volume being traded. The Indonesian Carbon Exchange, or IDX Carbon, was officially launched by President Joko Widodo on 26 September 2023. He said that the IDX Carbon was Indonesia's real contribution to fighting the climate crisis. According to President Joko Widodo, the result of the trade will be reinvested into the environment preservation effort, particularly carbon emission reduction, because Indonesia has a great potential in nature-based solutions and is the only nation with 60% carbon emission reduction fulfillment from the natural sector. Meanwhile, IDX President Director Iman Rahman, as the operator of the carbon exchange, explained that IDX Carbon provided a transparent, orderly, reasonable, and efficient trade system according to the Financial Services Authority Regulation POJK No. 14/2023 on carbon trade via carbon exchange. IDX Carbon is connected with the National Registry System for Climate Change Control of the Environment and Forestry Ministry so that it makes the carbon unit movement administration easier and avoids double counting. Currently, there are four mechanisms for IDX carbon trade, namely auction, regular trading, negotiated trading, and marketplace. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Memaksaku rindu semakin menyerang, kalaulah ku dapat membaca pikiranmu dengan sayap pengharapanku ingin terbang jauh. Awan pun gelisah, daun-daun jatuh berguguran, namun cintamu kasih terbit laksana bintang yang bersinar cerah menerangi jiwaku. Andaikan ku dapat
are still with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the world on 3325 kilohertz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
The province of Bangka Belitung Island off the eastern coast of Sumatra has two main islands, namely Bangka and Belitung. If you travel to Bangka, you will find a row of beautiful beaches, one of which is Tongachi Beach. Like other beaches in Bangka, in Tongachi Beach, there are granite rocks towering high on the shoreline. Even though it has similarities to beaches in general in Bangka, Tongachi Beach has a special charm. The beach has a nursery for sea turtle babies, also known as turtle hatchlings. Tongachi Beach is located on Laut Street in Pasir Village, Sungai Liat. It is not far from Sungai Liat Town, the capital of Bangka Regency, which is around 7 kilometers and can be reached using two-wheeled or four-wheeled vehicle. It takes about 45 minutes to travel. To enter the beach, you only need to pay for an entrance ticket of 10,000 rupiah or about 60 US cent. While entering the beach, you will be greeted by the beautiful beach and soft sand. Here you can swim as much as you like. Don't be afraid of being carried away by the waves, because Tongatiu Beach has been completed with wave-breaking stones. Besides swimming, you can play with the water by trying a banana boat or canoe. For those of you who like taking photos, there are numbers of interesting photo spots in the area. Beach managers adorn the panorama along the beach entrance with colorful umbrellas. You can also take photos with the umbrellas in the background. There are restaurants, bars, and cafes there that offers various Bangka culinary delights that you can enjoy. There's also the Garuda Museum, which collects old books from the Dutch colonial period, and a book gallery. At Tongatiu Beach, there is a turtle baby hatchery, which makes it different from other beaches in Bangka. The hatchery was initiated on May 28, 2009, but it was only open to the public in January 2015. There are hundreds of green and hawksbill turtles hatchlings kept here. If the turtles successfully hatch and grow up, they will be returned to the sea 1 mile from Tongatiu Beach. In this hatchery, you can see turtle eggs, turtle babies, and even adult turtles ready to be released into the wide ocean.
Kita harus bahagia. Kita harus bahagia.
Listeners, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Today's miscellany greets you with the informations about the International Football Championship. Listeners, MyTC organizes annual sport tourism event, namely the International Football Championship IFC, and International Soccer Camp ISC, which several Indonesian cities are going to hold this program. MyTC organizes IFCs with U13, U14, U15, U16, and U17 age groups. What distinguishes IFC from other competitions is that IFC doesn't look for winners or champions. However, players will receive reward to get a report card for their performance. Meanwhile, the International Soccer Camp presents soccer players aged 10 to 12 years in collaboration with China and Spain in 2024. Listeners, Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Sandiaga Uno explained that the MyTC program is the only international children's soccer competition event that presents basic skill reports and individual vision of players for all players or participants based on web technology and mobile applications. Meanwhile, the founder of MyTC, Igusti Agung Putunuaba, explained that his party hopes that this program can increase foreign tourist visits through sport tourism, create business and work opportunities, especially for graduates in the field of technology at SMK, accelerate the development of national soccer by Presidential Instruction No. 3 of 2019, and encourage the transformations and development of Indonesian soccer according to the PSSI program. Listeners, IFC U13 will be held from 23rd to 30th of November 2023 at DM Sport Ciledug and will be participated by an Australian team and 5 Indonesian teams. This event is IFC's kickoff after being postponed for 2 years due to the COVID outbreak. MyTC is the only application owned by the nation's children, Sons of Bali Province, that aims to present primary data on the skills of soccer players as a critical element in helping players become professionals both in Indonesia and around the world.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, my listener. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today, we're going to give you one wonderful song coming from Stinky. Stinky is an Indonesian music group formed in Jakarta in 1992. The initial formation of this music group was fronted by Andre Taulani as a vocalist, Ndang S. Hartanto as guitarist, Nano Helman as guitarist, Irwan Batara as bassist, and Eddie Darmawan as a drummer. Their first album entitled Stinky contained 10 songs with the song Mungkinkah as the main song. The song, which was released in 1997, describes someone who is in a long-distance relationship. The song is a signature song in Stinky's career. Now, the song Mungkinkah is still popular because it has an easy listening melody and lyrics. Well, listener, here is Stinky with Mungkinkah.
Tetes air mata basahi pipimu di saat kita akan berpisah. Terucapkan janji padamu kasihku, takkan ku lupakan dirimu. Begitu
thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Jangan tutup dirimu.
Voice of Indonesia.
All right, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter, at @voiindonesia, and send us email on voi@voinews.id.